So, Rhys, this is our opportunity to ask you questions, but it's also the other way around if you want to. Maybe just as a starter, I think we've all probably heard a bit, but so at the moment, so you're youth work and outreach work, is that right?
Yeah.
Can you just tell us what we actually do?
Yeah, sure. So the majority of my time is spent in youth work because, outreach is limited in Hong Kong. It was partly when we were creating the positions to make a full-time job and a part-time job for Kajori and myself. I took on youth and outreach, but the majority of my time was spent doing youth because, yeah, like I said, it was more limited in Hong Kong to do outreach there until we pushed on doors in schools, and then it came almost the outreach was almost solely a school thing, other than working on events like Kayleigh's or like Christmas fairs, you know, and that's a different category again. But my work involves obviously teaching the youth and mentoring them, discipling them. It has got harder in a sense because I'm now working part-time, so I that's a bit frustrating because I can't do as much as I'd like to, whereas I'm still doing more than I get paid for, so that's challenging, but basically it means that I put together talks in my week, I look at scripture, try and see what it's saying in its context, and then work out how to apply it to the young people, and then hopefully do that in a way that they can engage with, that they enjoy, that they find fun and helpful. As the youth work's grown, I've tried to train up leaders to do the same. Got a good group of leaders there who love Jesus, which always helps. Their Bible handling skills vary, the ones that do talks are good at handling God's word. So,
how do you do the training up of the team? What does that? I mean, over a 6 month period or a year period, what does that look like in terms of the actual input you're giving to the?
Yeah, so Katrina and I would try and run courses together, so we would maybe hold a training day and you'd get everyone to come along and you'd look at certain subjects or topics, or you'd...
So this would be Sunday school and youth at the same time? Or?
Sometimes, yeah, it depends what the training was, but say if it was Bible handling, I mean, that's not always... I'll just keep going with this one. So say it was Bible handling, we would try and train the leaders to look at a text and what to get out of it. You know, some of the skills we learnt in Old Souls, really. Just get them more comfortable and confident with reading God's word. And actually, this is something that I genuinely think like all the older youth can learn as well. You know, it's something that they can quite easily do. They're competent enough to do it. It's just trying to bring that in or get them to co-lead, and then they learn naturally after leaders as they're doing it. The training, it's basically to get the leaders comfortable and happy with answering the tougher questions of God's word, you know. And if there's anything too difficult, then they'll come to me. And then if it's anything else more than that, then I'll send them to the pastor. So. That's pretty much what it was.
So what's the background of the youth? Like, are those international people attending, and their kids, or there are Chinese kids?
There's a wide range. That can make it difficult. We try and sort small groups out in a way that everyone benefits from that. There's a lot of well-educated Chinese individuals there. There's a lot of expats who are quite clever. And again, there's some there that there's a real mix, and there's even some children from helpers, so some Filipino helpers come along as well. So yeah, there's a real mix of kids and across the board, more countries in the world.
When you say small groups to make them more comfortable, do you put, I mean, the Chinese with the Chinese and the what do you mean by that?
No, so I mean more to do with like level, like for example English. So
yeah,
as was done the other day, like those who aren't as comfortable in English, like maybe we put them in a group. Like they had a French group on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's mainly boys and girls, like separate, and then older and younger. But if there's any specific people to look out for, and I'll try and see how they're doing. Like, once in a while, just like keep an eye on them, so they're not missing out.
Yeah. How do you deal with difficulties in sort of denominational background and beliefs?
I mean, in the youth, it's not a massive issue. I mean, we do get a broad variety of people from different backgrounds coming in. We try and, I mean, if it's solid, if they're off track, then we'll definitely correct them.
Mm.
You know, but then there's things we let slide because it's an Anglican church, so I'm not going to be too hard on Paedo-Baptists or whatever, you know. So,
I mean, your background is interesting. So you're a sort of a Welsh congregationist, so it's more Baptist background.
Yeah.
Work trade LCM is pretty broad, I think.
Yeah.
And then currently working in an Anglican church in an international setting.
Yeah. So it happened. Well, we got asked to go out to Hong Kong, so it wasn't like I like specifically applied for a position at an Anglican international church. You know, we went to help out. So I think that comes with, I think because I'd been at LCM and my training was non-denominational, I think that was helpful. It meant that, it means you can be inclusive but focus on the fundamentals, the keys, you know. So if people come up with something crazy, then you can correct them and point them in scripture to what's important. But it doesn't mean that you're like hounding everyone to make sure that they're all looking from the same point of like exactly seeing the same as everyone else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, doctrine's important, getting the fundamentals right is important, but at the same time I do think like the younger youth have got a bit more time in their brains to allow that to fall, and then when they're coming through in the later years, like, you want that like more established before they go off to face university or life outside the church or whatever else they might come across. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, just checking in a bit. Can I ask you this? I don't want to just talk before. So. Something Clive and I speak about this morning was, I mean, obviously, Couture is doing kids' work, and you know, if you were to come here, you totally get about the rest, but you know, not taking an active part necessarily. Both now in Hong Kong and in the future, how, I've heard you say a number of times you're a people person. How would you, it's great, you can come alongside the teenage boys, but how are you doing it now, or you could see yourself doing it here? Who's going to come alongside the girls? How would you do that in terms of ministry?
Yeah, so again, when it comes to training leaders, we try and meet, male and female leaders try and meet together for training days. I think in the past I've had Keturah help me, like if I needed to meet with a female leader, or we've even, like we meet in a coffee shop in a, you know, in a place where everyone can see, and yeah, so, but I think, yeah, I mean, that's just a given, isn't it? You know, that's just common sense. But yeah, from that side, from the side of, like, females, I think that's important that they're trained up, but there's a distance there. So we're so busy, you've just got to catch any time you can to train someone up. But yeah, I mean, Kachora is more than capable of helping me train people. I mean, I think I just have to time it well, you know. It's like, yeah, say if she's just given birth, then maybe not that month or 3 months. So, yeah.
So you would endeavour to have female helpers who are meeting the girls. And,
And would you see that in the current group of youth leaders, or how would you see that moving forward? Would you continue to sort of each take a certain part, or how would you see the collaboration with them?
Yeah. So I'd need to chat with them again. I think from what I saw on Friday, they're doing a great job. I mean, I know there could be things happening in the future where someone might move away or whatever. It'd be interesting to see like how comfortable they are and how willing or how much time they have to serve. Because I do believe in letting people use their gifts as well. You know, if someone's skilled at teaching the youth, I'm not going to come in and not let them do any talks. You know, I think it's looking for the good in people and encouraging the good way you see it. So if you've got someone who's great at leading Bible studies, but you never you never have any Bible studies, you always do talks, you know, you're not using a team. And so I think one of the key things is getting to know the team, and to do that you can meet them for meals. I don't know what the youth budget's like, but you meet up with them and you have that time of fellowship, and you just get to know them and see like where they're gifted, what are they, what they like doing, and also not just what they like doing, but can they be pushed slightly, like in the right direction to grow their gifts, not in like a slave driver sort of, you know, it's like how can we grow the potential in the people around us? So, I mean, sometimes you get that wrong, sometimes you get it right. You've got to keep trying and keep looking. But yeah, a good team of leaders is essential for not burning out, for keeping the ministry running smoothly, for making sure everyone's discipled well. You know, everyone's that no one like slips through the cracks. You know, everyone's where you hope they'll be.
Now, you mentioned this morning about the role of parents. So you are a believer in parents being involved. So how do you plan to engage the parents before them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think firstly, it's letting them know what's being taught. So just sending out a syllabus or just, and if there's any questions, you know, we can then send an email or meet in church and say, I've got issues with this, or how are you going to teach this, or whatever. Which again, I mean, it can add to your job, but I think it's important down the line, because if the parents are to partner with the youth workers or the pastoral team in church, then that's really important.
You're still obviously very experienced, and you know you have a plan of how to do stuff. But where do you see your leaders? Where would you need help, or what discourages you?
Yeah. So, look, one of the things about being a people person is, even if I plan my diary well, even if I'm completely organised for the week, I can be in a meeting with someone, and if they bring up an issue or they really need to talk to me, then it can throw my week out, or even just getting, you know, I'm in a meeting, I'm talking, I can just, yeah. So it's important to have a clock on the other side of the room to me. I think that's one of the key things for me. In terms of what discourages me, I think seeing a youth distance themselves from church or from friends, or even if like seeing youth who are bullying each other or something like that. That's that's not nice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're So I wake up and I've got in the habit of telling myself the gospel in the morning. I think that's essential. I think it just changes how you look at the day, because it does humble you. You know, you get up, you have things to do, but it's the day's not about me. It's not my time. It's not all about me. And I think that's important, because that immediately helps you to see like who Christ is, what He's done for you, where He's brought us from, you know, and so on. Like, well, I guess whatever's on our heart, it'll minister to it, because the gospel reaches us wherever we are, doesn't it? So that's been really helpful for me. To be honest, I try and read the Bible as often as I can. I've struggled with that recently because of my sons, who are getting up before me. So yeah, just trying to find another time of the day for quiet time. So, but I'm really blessed to have Keturah, because you know she loves God as well, and we never go to bed without praying together. And that's key. And if you know, if we've ever had an argument, we always try and rectify that before bed, so that we can. Yeah.
But to follow up on that, do you have like a mentor? You have an older person or something that you relate
to? He asked me this question in the car on the way. Thank you.
So I do think mentors are essential. I think again, part of being a people person. Nice to bounce ideas off other people who hold the same views or have got biblical wisdom, you know, that can kind of speak into your situation. I do have a couple of guys in the UK that I try and Skype, because it's a bit harder from Hong Kong. It's been tough in Hong Kong, in the sense of there's no one there who's out, because it's like a Christian bubble. I think maybe, I don't know if you guys might face some of that here, but probably less so, because there's more integration with the French language. But so there's no one in Hong Kong at the minute that's mentoring me. And I think that's not healthy, you know. I think having to rely on friends on the other side of the world to Skype. But I mean, that's kept me sane as well. I mean, people who've held me accountable from across the world, that still helps. So,
but in the same direction. So, what do you read? What are the theologians that have influence on?
Obviously, coming from the background I have, I've read a lot of Starr. I've read some of Martin Lloyd Jones's books. To be honest, where I'm at right now, I've been treading water, in the sense of I haven't really had as much time to delve into like books of study. It's mainly been the Bible, but I'd love to get more study. I'd love to get more study time, just look into them, spend more of my time chewing on that, meditating on some of those wise guys, you know. And I think that would. I think that would deepen my ministry, and that would help me to be able to hopefully pass some of that on, some of that treasure on to the youth, you know, or whoever is ministering to. So.
I know, I think we were talking about in case so everything goes well, so I think your desire is to continue like the education.
We spoke about the desire of the church to continue kind of supporting the education side, like you did Mark, and etc. So,
what's your ambition? I've read what you wrote in your answers to our questions, but can you expand on what your new Reese is in 10 years' time?
Yeah, okay. So
in half an hour or so.
Yeah, that's pretty short.
I mean, obviously, like the path that I've taken in life means that I never say never, you know. There's no point saying I'm going to go and do this for God or I'm going to end up here, because often God's kind of just took hold of me and said, "Can you go to Hong Kong or whatever?" And so, with that in view, I think that that reminds me that, you know, I need to be dependent on God for where I end up, wherever that is. But I think the natural progression, if I think it through, is that, well, I'm definitely going to be in ministry. You know, and I think that's a given because it's the best thing ever. So I'm teaching people about Jesus. But I think yeah, the natural progression is to say I'd have the skills and the training to be a pastor.
Mm.
Like I'm not saying, oh, I'll be a pastor.
Mm.
You know, I think because again, it depends where I end up and what the needs of the church are. Like I'm not gonna like force my way down one avenue if I feel like God's growing my gifts in this area or that area. You know, so yeah, I'll say with the skills to be a pastor and potentially a pastor, but I'm not saying that from a sense of, oh, I've got no ambition either, you know. The thing behind that is that God's got a plan for us all, He's got a role for us all in life. And honestly, none of us know where that is really, like ultimately.
Mm.
And yeah, I think if we allow God to work in us in that way, then He's gonna help us reach our potential wherever that is.
Mm.
Maybe if I keep thinking about it more and more, I'll eventually just have a short answer.
Oh no!
Anyway, have a short answer.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm not sure I'm allowed to ask you the questions. It's my excuse. Or no, I mean, I really echo what Martin said about the way I kind of come to know you. It's like a very deep and solid person, and also a couple. But I see the flip side. I haven't seen the crazy wild race. Do you think that is something in working with youth, that is it something you struggle with? Is it something that you delegate? Is it something you think, okay, I do it differently, or there's a wild race?
No, I think so. I mean, in most of the Christian circles that I hang out in,
you are wild.
It's not encouraged. It's not encouraged. But yeah, I mean, I did drama, like theatre and media. I did drama. You know, in that sense. So maybe I put on a bit of a show sometimes for that. But that's definitely been a part of who I am. And I think as I've got older, I'm kind of wondering, okay, was that immaturity, or was that like a part of my character that God still wants me to explore and use? And it's definitely there. I think part of being a youth worker is it's always there. You know, I've got loads of cheeky jokes. It's just when to let them out. You know? That's it, like working out when it's appropriate. But yeah, like I was talking to someone this weekend about making the Bible fun. I can't remember who it was, sorry. But I think that's part of what we have to do. You know, if we love the young people, then we want them to get it, we want them to engage with it, and it's gotta be fun. And it can be, because like when you live the gospel, it encompasses all of life. So how can you take fun out of the gospel if Jesus redeems everything? You know? You can't. It's gotta be there. Like, yeah. Sorry.
I think we also, at least I have, and Martin has, a clip from the Shatton Church website where you appear to be shooting a nerve gun into the church office. that reassured me that somewhere under this, that's very serious.
I did also come across a picture of you dressed as a Roman centurion.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So then you know what that was about.
one of the things I was going to ask was about having a mentor. You know, I think that that's important if I came here. But yeah, I could have someone to bounce things off. And I mean, I'd be happy to do that with Martin, but again, someone else as well. If that's what.
Yeah, we understand.
Snow understands that very well. Yeah, I mean, I think you very much want to try and offer that in some way.
Mm.
I mean, you know, really we'd have to talk to you about what that looked like.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, on that, Reese, I mean, without wanting to say you can ask us questions and we immediately ask you another question, but maybe it's on this development theme, and I don't mean this in a cheesy way, but if you had to say, okay, over the next 5 years, where were the areas that you wanted to grow and develop, in, where you feel like, you know, okay, I'm at this stage in my life, my ministry, what would I want to get out? And I'm not saying we're just looking for 5 years or whatever, I'm just saying, do you, if you're looking at a new start,
mm-hmm.
what are you thinking, do you know what, this is, these are areas where I'd like to grow?
Yeah. I'm going to answer the question, but maybe I just want to kind of say this first. I think it's hard for me to know right now because I don't know how much work the youth work will be. So that's my first thing that I want to say. Like, I'm not saying it's going to take up all my time, but I think it would take time to get into the ministry, to work it out, to get to know the team, get to know the youth, get to like just get the big picture in my head. What have they been learning for the past few years, really now, you know, like just to piece that puzzle together. Because I like to chew on things and spend my time like absorbing and taking it in and then working it out. Like I do sort of like to think and take it in and then hopefully when it's processed. I'd like to give a few things a go, but it's whether like I can't. Yeah, I wouldn't maybe be able to do them all. So I think it maybe takes some sitting down and thinking about it again. But I mean, obviously, evangelism. I mean, that would. I mean, how that would look. I think I need to learn French first before I thought about that seriously. So maybe that would be. In the sense of being more effective in evangelism in this area. I think maybe student work, but to do more student work, I mean, I'm happy to do student work, but I think to do it on a more regular basis, I'd want to have done more study, I think. Just like, I definitely have something to offer them spiritually, relationally, I know that, but when it comes to teaching science, like, it's not much I can offer. But in terms of, you know, I'd like to do some more study to look into that. Preaching, I mean, you know, I'd like to work on my preaching. I've had less opportunity to do that in Hong Kong because I've just been like focusing more on the youth. Two pastors, so they would take in the series, whereas when there was one of them, I had more opportunity to preach. I mean, I'd also like to, I mean, I've already said it, I'd like to study, I'd like to spend time in God's Word and broadening.
From preaching, learning French, doing evangelism, getting a master's degree, and getting a Nobel Prize in chemistry, you're not ambitious.
One at a time.
One at a time, yeah.
So, another thing, so you spent 4 years in Hong Kong so far, so you think God wants you to move ahead for the future? control. If you come here, what you come here for another 4 years, or do you, what do you have in mind, like a long term or a short term?
So I mean, the boys are young, but I think we'd want them to be more established in the school if we're going to come. I think increasingly you think more about your family as time goes on. Like moving from Hong Kong, so when we moved out there, it's just Katrina and I, so you know, we thought we'd do 2 years and then go back to the UK or whatever, or look at whatever was going on in the world and see where we thought it would take us. But circumstances meant that we stayed there for it's coming to 5 years now. But I think that situation as well just helped us to think through, actually, you go for as long as God wants you somewhere. You don't sort of say, I mean, when I signed my contract at LCM, it was a 5-year contract, because there's no point investing any less time than that into an area, because you know you're getting to know them, you're doing advances and you're building relationships. And I mean, that, dare I say, that sounds like a minimum now. we're open to staying. I think if the family is happy and healthy, and in a structure that, you know, means everything's working out, there's no reason to think about going anywhere else unless God clearly says so. So yeah, that's a long way of saying, like, to go back to the boys and potentially a girl as well this next year. We'd want them to go through school. I don't quite know what that would look like. But, you know, I don't know if you could bear me for the long.
You ask.
As Westlake is to become or be a centre church. In other words, you're keen on being involved in training people outside of the church and running seminars. And the same with the youth, you know, I think there's a real need to train up youth leaders in the English language, but maybe, you know, thinking further in other languages as well. So our vision is to actually offer courses and train. Is that, you've obviously been involved in training programs in London, especially, I suppose.
Yeah, so, I mean, in London we did door-to-door work and we had like a training program where we worked alongside churches to get them alongside missionaries, and we'd look at door-to-door work together and training them up. And then there was other aspects to that, you know, on a bigger scale throughout London. Based on different evangelical groups that were running things. So, and again, the Olympics thing was like a games pastors thing. So we went out and did games pastoring, and we took out young Christians with us, and you know, we tried to train them up and help them get a feel of what it's like doing evangelism on the streets of London, and trying to help people around the Olympics. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. I think training is really important. I think you can think more about training outside when you've trained inside. And I think, you know, making sure leaders and everyone else are doing as good a job as they can be, or you're giving them the tools they need to open the Bible and do whatever they need to do. You know, to a healthy church, because again, it's you've got disciples and you're trying to make disciples, you're trying to grow everyone around you, basically, to the best of their ability if you can, because you know, we want to see them be more like So yeah, I'd love to do more courses if in training, and I think training others is a great thing to do. Mm. I'd love to look at that more as well. I'll add that to the list.
Also supporting other international churches. I mean, there's at least three in Lausanne, and we don't really kind of formally collaborate, but like we informally know each other, I think, especially you. So I don't know if you had in Hong Kong multiple international churches in quite a small area. I mean, here it definitely is.
Yeah, so I mean, Hong Kong is different because it's an Anglican shoot, so it's like a sister church to a mother church in Kowloon, and then there's another sister church over in Sai Kung, which is like basically the beach part. So there was a lot of collaboration between those three churches. We would do weekends away together. We would do youth weekends away or student weekends away together with those churches. And then there was a broader network, which as time went on, and I had less time, I was less able to be involved with, but that was like all the evangelical churches and English speaking churches in Hong Kong, because there's a lot more of them on the island, but going down to part time and things with Micah, I wasn't able to be as involved with those. But yeah, they do a great job keeping the youth. I think that's important, that the youth see us as the Christians out there, that they see us as the groups like them. They're not the only like castle on the hill.
Do you have any practical concerns or questions? I know you've spoken with John and with Martin about a lot of things.
So, I'm kind of thinking more about Katura's pregnancy now. Mm. I think she's due mid-March. I need to work out when the last day is that she can fly. Mm. I imagine that's mid-February. I need to work 3 months' notice in my current position. So we are kind of like just throwing ideas around, like would Katura move back to the UK to be with her parents for half a month or a month or whatever while she gives birth. You know, I think these are just some of the, as time goes on, we do have these questions somewhere in the back of our minds, but obviously we don't have enough information to set anything solid in motion. So, that would be something we potentially have to think about, like what month we came out and whether that would mean that we would start later. That's tough for Martin because he's got a lot on his plate. So.
I mean, obviously, we'd have to talk about it. I mean, I might gut it because we would be flexible for whatever, for the candidate that we wanted. So, I wouldn't worry too much.
Practical question: if Katura gives birth in Switzerland, is the baby Swiss?
No. No.
Blood. I see blood.
Certainly not.
No, they have to be 18. They are 18. They can ask for that, but they have to be there for 1 year at least before it. There's no right of
citizenship.
And a practical question: if we offered it to them, they were to delay their coming after Brexit. What's the situation of Brits coming post Brexit? Is that going to be a standard? Will they just get? It won't be a problem.
It's not past the EU.
But the point is that the permit Bs are automatic for members of the EU.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's one point. Is, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be fine, isn't it? It's just this time.
Brexit's going to end the UK being part of the EU. There's agreements between the UK and Switzerland that are not necessarily cut because of Brexit.
Yeah, okay.
All the things are a little bit interlinked, but
okay.
It's not like Brexit means end of them because it's a bilateral
between
them.
You mentioned one of your sons with heart condition.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe you have shared with others. What is the situation now?
Okay, so he's at home with us. He's doing a lot better. His oxygen saturation is good. He's getting enough oxygen. So he's doing a lot better now. He does have a stomach button, so he feeds through a gastric hole in his stomach, and he's also eating more, so he's doing a lot better. He's slightly behind in a couple of areas, but he's doing okay. And we asked about insurance and things like that while we were here.
So we set up a meet, so yesterday morning, so Karen Zindler met with them just to talk about healthcare issues, and I think that was very helpful.
Yeah, it was.
And I think, Karen was fine, but Karen was very happy about it.
Yeah, so I think, there's no worries from our side on that.
I mean, I think he will need ongoing medical follow-up.
Yeah.
And so potentially living out in Lille might not be a great idea, but in reasonable access would be, if you need a 6-month echo, so a heart scan every 6 months or something. But that will all be covered on insurance, and he's stable now, by the sounds of it.
No, I was thinking also from the treatments that are going on in Hong Kong to continue or to break or
he takes medication every day, so we look at that. So I think the one that he'd probably be on all his life is aspirin to thin his blood. He has a speech therapist, but again I think we'd look at that. That might write itself because he's home and we're talking to him. And then he does have physio, again, getting into the system. But we've been encouraged. He's taking steps on his own. He's like taking 3 steps and lunging. But he's learning to walk and he's finding his balance. His hips have just been really weak. So he's 2. He turned 2 on Wednesday. Okay.
Christian Peterson knows his heart so
well. Yes, indeed.
Small world. Any other questions, Sergeant?
No, I was going to ask you if you had any more questions for us.
Sorry. We cut you.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Sorry.
Sorry. You just inspired more questions.
I mean, like I said, because I like to take everything and process it, sometimes I come back a day later with some more questions. But, a lot of the questions that I've asked this weekend have already been answered. So, I brought up housing and accommodation. How would that work for a family of 5 living in Switzerland? Because it's quite expensive. But, Gert mentioned further away from the lake you get, it's cheaper, and just look at public transport and things like that. So I think that was quite clear, thank you. I think again, in terms of schools, I asked a question about that, and heard that basically where you end up living is where your children go to school. So
So that was,
you know, it was good to know. There's no outstanding questions that are really on my mind right now.
I didn't ask you anything this earlier. I mean, at the service this morning, would you be, I mean, just your would you be comfortable at Westlake? Would we be a good fit for you and Couture, you personally, kids? Would you sit there thinking, man, this worship is too staid or it's too, too boppy or, are we a good fit for you?
The teacher was good.
Notice I didn't mention the teacher.
It's a loving family, and that was, it's one of the first things you notice as you come in. Hopefully that's not just because we're like
some ashamed.
Everyone knew that we were coming, so they all welcomed us. I'm sure that's not the case, it's a lovely family church, and I hope everyone heard me with my voice, everyone seems, in answer to your question, yes, I think it's a good fit for us. We've got boys the same age as a lot of Western congregation, which is nice. There's a good friendship base there, and I think that's a big deal. We're aware that there's lots of changes potentially that could happen if we moved, house, baby, job, it's a lot, and I think the church family seems like they would welcome us and help us with that transition if it were to happen, if it was God's will. So I enjoyed it. Even though I was tired, I guess.
Other questions, guys?
What sort of impressions did you get as a youth when you were doing Youth on Fire? What are things that you stood out?
So they're a real mix. I think I'm not sure if it was because I was new. Some of the guys were a bit distant, but again, there's the French speaking side. I think that's important to mention. There's some who are better at French than English, and vice versa. So I think it's my first impression was they're a great group. They're a good group. We started out with a couple of games, and they all got involved. They had some fun. There was no one who sort of didn't seem to enjoy themselves. So I also made them wear daft glasses, and they were happy to do that. So they're a good group. I think the team as well is just great. You can tell they love the youth. Tired, so there's a few things I think I probably could have talked in more, but they're a great group.
Yeah, because you opened your eyes. Any other questions, guys?
Something totally not involved in this interview, if you like. Have you heard of the term? I'm not sure if it's in Cantonese, but it's one of the dialects. It's Mokong Yesowa. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
That wasn't the first word is no. Right?
Yeah. Mokong means say or talk about Jesus. Yesowa.
Okay.
Jesus. This is a common term that the Chinese use. To say, don't lie to me, don't deceive me.
Hmm.
And when I learned about this, my prayer was that it's all because this came into the Chinese colloquial language because missionaries went to China. They preached something, but they practice another thing. So for the Chinese, someone coming from outside, saying they're Christians and preaching, it is for them, it's a deception, it's a lie. So I'm so glad that people like you spend four or 5 years and the others that are changing that kind of thing. But did you feel when you were in Hong Kong, with the Hong Kong Chinese, that they see you bringing something false or something real?
I mean, it's hard to, when you don't speak the language, it's hard to fully know what's being said or what's going on. I think a lot of the things that we did see were positive. So there's a Christian missionary who lives in the block across from me who took his daughters on the MTR on the train to wherever he was going. But basically on the MTR row, there's like five seats on some of the trains. So on these five seats you had these two missionary kids and the missionary, and you had this, I can't remember if it was a dad or a mum, but I think it was a mum and her son, like a local Chinese, and and these guys are Christian, you know, they're missionaries, and he was sat reading a book to his kids on the MTR, and then they were the locals were both on their phones, and the boy was like this, and then the mum was like this, and then the missionary dad was like reading like a book to both his girls. So I know that's not, you know, that's, you could argue that's not gospel living, you know, he's not preaching the gospel, but I think that's a good witness, a good example of like fatherhood and Christian fatherhood. So sorry, so what happened was this picture went viral. So it was all around Hong Kong, like this is how they do it and this is how we do it, sort of thing. And there's gotta be negatives as well. You know, I think most expats I think the problem with just not being able to communicate with Chinese people is that a lot of locals think that the expats are like crazy wild businessmen who come for the weekend and get drunk and whatever. You know? So there's both sides of it. But there are Christians trying to make a difference there. And hopefully they will do. Hopefully they'll continue to shine the light. But yeah, sorry.
Yes, great.
Has anybody talked about sort of really practical issues like, you know, finances and holidays and these kind of things?
I've talked about the working week.
Okay.
You know, we spoke more about like school and then housing and like what sort of budget like renting a house would look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like on a practical note, if there would be more specific things that you would like to ask.
I mean, I know that a lot of people, basically it's expensive here in Switzerland to live.
Some things are expensive. I won't say across the board, you know, if you compare with Italy or you know, Germany, some things are cheaper here and a lot of things are maybe more expensive.
Yeah.
I think across the board it's difficult to say. I won't say everything is more expensive.
Okay, that's good to know. So, I mean, we've been living in Hong Kong, so that's kind of a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the housing's expensive, Western food's expensive.
So, yeah, that's...
But you have comfort that others who have gone through the headache to help you.
To get all the
help.
Yeah.
And you've clearly done this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Hong Kong. I've still got my hair, but Hong Kong was moving there. It was like, you know, just changing all the contracts and things. But yeah.
Well, what about holidays and so on?
So we haven't spoken about holidays. So we get 4 weeks holiday a year. I don't know what you get now.
Well, we moved down to part time, so it's half of that.
Okay. Oh, we could carry that on. If you're used to that. So, I mean, a message to him that we run a pretty flexible thing that if, you know, if they want to extend, you know, take a long weekend in the UK, if they're off, that's fine. And I don't, it's not like we're counting days religiously, provided the work gets done and that the working week is flexible in terms of, you know, there's some weeks when, you know, we might ask them to go out every evening and another week when it's got anything to do. So, provided there's that flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
What was the evening occupation? I'm asking it like as a father. So I don't know if you spoke about like what in general like the evening activities are of like and the others that we had. I don't know if you spoke with it. It's more I'm asking the question.
I can't remember.
You get an idea of that.
You know, so I think maybe we'd have to think about that. But I think certainly to start with, I think his candidate's emphasis should be the youth, which is Friday. And I think, personally, I don't think it's great. I mean, if you join a home group, that's one night a week. If there's students, that's another night a week. If there's youth, that's three nights a week. If there's an evening service, that's four nights a week, and that's too many nights. So I think we'd have to talk through what that actually looked like in terms of. The idea would not be for you or anyone else that we bring you here and make your marriage.
That's good.
That's reassuring. Yeah, so I think, and I said to him, look, there are going to be, whether that means if he's out in the evening, that means he's at home in the afternoon or something.
Yeah.
And I think we're not there saying it's 9 to 5 in the office. There some days when we're going to ask him to put more hours in, and some days when it's going to be less. But provided there's that flexibility. Any other questions?
I just wanted to thank you for coming out.
Yeah.
And
then
after his son's birthday and so on,
yeah.
It's much appreciated, the distance and the tour. So little bit.
Yeah, thank you.
And
be grateful for
that.
Well, thank you as well for welcoming us so warmly. Thank you.
And it's great keeping it short because that way he gets to enjoy jet lag back again. Double-edged sword.
So when we talk about the next steps, just so we
So we've got another candidate coming next weekend, and we will then try and get together as an elder team, and we will try and feed back to you, as soon as we can.
But anyway, it depends on the guest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you will find out what's
so that's
the final decision.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the GAM,
that's right. So that's exactly right. So we would have to put the name of the candidate forward to the members. And the members will vote.
So it'll be December 5th, will be the day.
I think we would say, before that, we would need, let's say we wanted to accept you, we would need a positive response back from you for us to then take that to the members.
Mm-hmm.
But that's we will need to be making a decision and having a decision back from you. Two weeks, I think, realistically.
Mm.
And then we then put that to the members.
Yeah.
close to the members, really. That's the point. So.
We would propose a candidate who's willing to do the job rather than.
Correct. That's right. So, what we wouldn't want, So, it's. We don't then come back to you and say the members want to offer you the job. Are you willing to accept it? It's we say to you, are you willing to accept it? And then we put that to the members.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, the 5th of December, the members will.
Without the approval of the memberships, we can't do anything.
Okay, so we'll find out sometime next month.
Well, you'll find out before whether the candidate will propose, so you can already start preparing yourself, but I would not quit your job until after the 7th.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, and basically, the reason that matters is if you have to give 3 months' notice, that's going to be January, February, March the 6th, if we were to offer it to you. So, we will need to talk to you about start dates and pregnancy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think,
But it won't be before April, right? 1st of April.
I think realistically. You will not be starting before then. Yeah.
Okay, so you can do a deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, if your church turned around and said, let's say we offered it to you, and your church turned around and said, don't worry.
We don't want it anymore. Take you for the 1st of January.
5 years is more than enough. You're free. Then we can talk about it.